5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hi. Hey guys, welcome back. We're gonna get it one day.
We never will.
Welcome back to another episode of Awkward Stage. I'm Alina.
And I'm Nicole. And we're your hosts.
And today we have a very special guest.
This actress is one of the most amazing dramatic actresses I've ever seen.
Yes.
She's been on the scene since she was little. You might know her from Disney Channel. Caitlin Riley.
Hey guys,
thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Caitlin.
Hi. None of that was true. Caitlin's a comedic actress who's dramatic in real life.
I also wanted to be a child star desperately, and my parents wouldn't let me.
They wouldn't let you.
That's my trauma.
Was Hollywood knocking down your door?
They were really just knocking down my door. They wanted a pudgy 11-year-old with crooked teeth, just like.
Well, your dad was an actor, so
yeah,
it's like, let me join the family business.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Anyway, thanks for having me.
We're all friends.
Yeah, we go back. We're all friends in real life. We go way back. All of us, the three of us.
Yeah.
From comedy.
Doing comedy, doing sketch comedy, doing character comedy.
At a place called The Groundlings. That we'll bring up every time we have someone on that we met at The Groundlings. Yes.
Who else have you had on here that you met at The Groundlings?
Chandler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
You're not our first improv friend.
Got it. This is odd. Should we go?
Yeah.
It's so weird because we actually know each other really well in real life, but I am like nervous and shy and I don't know what to say right now.
It's so weird because it's like we were just talking before we started rolling and now it's like, oh, now we're rolling and now we have to make a conversation.
You know what the problem was? Is we were gossiping about something about my life that now we can't talk about.
It's juicy.
Ooh, if you only knew.
It's good stuff.
Caitlin, the people want to know, where'd you grow up?
It's crazy that you ask because it's a crazy story. I grew up in Los Angeles.
Wow. That is still crazy to me whenever people say that because everyone else is not from here. No one's
from here.
Yeah.
I mean, I came to this building for auditions like in high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then the college that I went to is down the street on La Brea, that big orange building.
Yes.
That's the American Academy of the Dramatic Arts, Nicole.
And
that's where I learned my trade.
And that makes a lot of sense. Wait, do you have a crazy audition story from when you were auditioning in high school? Like, I cannot imagine that.
Oh my God, I just part of my life. Told this story, but yes, I do. I had technically graduated high school already, but I was still 17. Mm. And hashtag nepotism. This is the only moment of nepotism that I experienced, mind you. Oh, when I graduated high school, my dad's agent, like, quote unquote, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, took me on as a client, and sent me out on a couple auditions. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to be famous.
This is it. I worked so hard my whole life.
I worked so hard going to high school, and now this is my moment, you know?
Yeah.
So there was this one audition, and mind you, at the time, my mom was like a huge stage mom. She's like, you need to wear a full face of makeup. You need to wear a short dress. Show your legs. You got great legs.
Which is exactly what I feel like they don't want from a 17-year-old in a commercial. Was it a commercial? I feel like this building was
for like a movie.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So they wanted you to look like 12, probably.
No, I was like 17 in the movie or something. Wow. Okay. I didn't get the surprising part. But if I had, I would have been 17 in the movie. But it was weird because it was
They regret it now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, they do. They rue the day. But no, it was in my agent's office, my agent at the time at a big office with a bunch of rooms, right?
Red flag.
And it was this guy, this casting associate or something. I don't know if he was doing this independently. It was like a favor to a friend. Like, I don't know what was going on, but it just felt weird. There were other girls there waiting for the audition. So it wasn't and it was 2:00 in the afternoon and there were people around. So it was fine. Good. But it was this movie. I literally just told the story the other day on a podcast. It was this movie that ended up getting made, I want to say like 10 years later, starring, I think, Halle Berry, where she's a 911 dispatcher and she gets a phone call from a girl who's stuck in the trunk of a car.
Yes.
And I think the girl is Abigail Breslin. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
I've seen the movie a couple times because it's really riveting and it grabs you right in the beginning and then you can't stop watching it, but I don't know who's in the trunk.
Yeah. So I had this audition like in 2007. The movie came out way later, like literally 10 years later. So I think like scripts get optioned and maybe they get made and then it stops and then those scripts will get picked back up. It's like, let's make this one. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's what happened. Uh-huh. Because I saw a trailer for it a couple years ago, and I was like, is that the movie that I auditioned for when I was 17?
You auditioned to play the girl in the trunk?
Was it a scene from the trunk?
Yes. Oh. So I walk in. They told all the girls to wear a black dress. So all of us were wearing black cocktail dresses.
Wait, why?
I don't know. But at the time, I had a boyfriend, and like we go to formal and stuff, but I didn't wear like cocktail dresses ever. No. I either wore jeans or like the prom dress if I had to. So I was really uncomfortable in dresses and I was really shy. Like, could never tell now.
No.
Because I've just been like manic for 10 years.
That was the other side of the manic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I walk into the audition and like, you know when you get an audition where the sides are so physical, like you shoot a gun and then you barrel roll and you're like, get down. Like, you're like, how the fuck am I supposed to do? Can I swear?
Yes. Yeah.
How the fuck am I supposed to do that in an audition?
Yeah.
Right?
All the action.
Yeah.
They want you to hit all the action. Like, they want you to like pay attention to that stuff. And like,
I get it. But like, how to this, like, how am I supposed to convey
that you're in a trunk?
It's ridiculous. Anyway, so I'm sitting in this chair. This guy's being like really abrasive, not super friendly.
Ugh. A cold room.
Cold room. And it was freezing room. And it was just the one guy. And again, maybe this is just my perception because I was 17 and like terrified.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is this your first like audition for a movie?
My first audition ever.
Shit.
Like graduated high school. Was like, I'm not going to college.
Oh my God. And it's like a dramatic movie and you have to be in a trunk.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
So I'm sitting in the chair and I didn't know anything, and that's why I ended up going to theater school, because I was like, I don't know.
Oh.
Like, I knew how to do high school plays, but I was like, what is this? Yeah. So I didn't know that I had to, like, memorize. Like, I didn't know basic shit, and you would think that, because my dad was an actor, but, like, I just didn't pay attention. So I start doing the scene, and the scene quite literally opens up with, like, hello, help, I'm in the trunk of a car. And then it's the 911 dispatcher.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't get out. What? Wait, hello?
Okay, I would give you a call back.
I don't know where I am. I think the car is black. I don't know. So it was basically that.
It also sounds like Taken, another Taken movie.
Right, basically. Yeah. So I'm like trying to feign emotion and just be like, hello? Oh my God, it was so awful. So he's like, stop. In the middle of me doing it. And I sort of perk up and he says, you're in the trunk of a car. So act like, super abrasive, act like you're in the trunk of a car. Did you read the description before the lines?
Have you never been in the trunk of a car?
Yeah, he was so condescending.
But that note means nothing. Maybe he meant, like, be more scared or like. But how
No, he meant physicality-wise. Because he's like, you're sitting in a car. You're sitting in a chair right now. So, I mean, how? And so I think I literally looked at him. I remember this vividly. I look at him and I said, do you want me to get on the ground?
Yeah.
And he's like, yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Buddy.
So I don't know if this guy was having a short man power trip. Like, yeah. I don't know, because I don't know what was going on. But I felt like I was being punked or attacked. I was like, if this is what auditions are, no thanks. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But that is what auditions are.
Right, but I've never experienced that ever. Like, yeah, you just go in. That's crazy.
In your first audition.
And
at
also,
that age.
Like, I was 17.
Right.
I'm sorry, say that again?
No, I'm saying they shouldn't be that way.
No, of course not. But they are.
Right.
So I get on the ground. I'm in a dress. I get on the ground. I'm sort of, and I'm like on my side with my papers here. And I start over again and I'm like, hello. I'm in the trunk of a car. Help. And so I black out through the I'm so terrified. Yeah. I'm so nervous. I'm so uncomfortable. I want to die. So he stops and he goes, okay, so did you believe yourself? Did you believe yourself? Because I didn't.
Shut up.
And then I start to panic, but I go like, I don't know. I was like trying to be a good student. I was like, is this an acting class? Is this an audition? I don't know what's going on. So I was like, I don't know. I guess I don't understand like the physicality. If, you know, I mean, I just graduated high school and I don't know if you really want me to like get in the corner of the room and pretend that I'm in a trunk of a car. I just thought I'd sit. So I guess I just feel physically uncomfortable because there's a lot of action in the scene. Like I was trying really hard to just
help me out here, buddy.
Yeah. And then he takes the chair, sits on it backwards. You know, he does the backward chair thing and he goes, look.
Oh no.
I'm only trying to help you with your career.
Doesn't sound like
okay?
it.
Okay. Oh, do you want to be an actress?
Fucking God.
So he goes, do you want to be an actress? This is real. I swear to God, this is real. He goes, do you want to be an actress? I said, yes. He's like, do you want to be a famous actress? I don't really care. I don't know. Yes. And then it got wrapped up somehow. I don't know how it got wrapped up. I don't know how I left. That's just like my spotty memory. But that was my first audition ever. And I was traumatized.
Yeah.
I don't know who the fuck this guy was.
No.
I don't know where he is. I don't know what he's doing.
The answer is probably nowhere because the film got made 10 years later by someone else.
Right.
So fuck that guy who doesn't know what he's talking about. Telling a 17-year-old girl. Oh.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
Like, I am so, because I'm so young and impressionable still, like, I left that room being like, did I offend him? Did I do something wrong?
Right.
Because that didn't feel right.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's like, so tricky because it's already a power, like, they are superior. They have all the power.
Oh,
like,
he knew
already.
That. He
you
knew
don't
that.
Need yeah. to assert then, you know,
yeah.
you don't need to abuse your power that you have over these young women. And if you're annoyed at, like, watching actress after actress after actress, then maybe you have the wrong job. That sounds traumatizing.
Yeah, Alina with the hot take.
I was auditioning at that age too in New York.
Yeah.
And very similar experiences, which is probably why I just got so physically ill hearing about this man. But very similar experiences with like grown men trying to like teach you something in the room, trying to like guide you, and women too. Mm-hmm. But just people trying to like, ugh.
Unfortunately, I think what it is, and I feel very jaded by people in general because I grew up here, but it's like, I don't know if it's heartbreaking, I don't know if it feels skeezy to me, but there are so many pieces of shit that move out here to like be somebody. Yeah. And by pieces of shit, I don't mean everyone that's not from here. I mean like the worst person in their town got on a plane and came to Los Angeles to make their dreams come true.
Yeah.
So this fucking jackass from Boise you know, moved out to LA 15 years ago in the 90s. And it's like, you know, putting together a film, you know, it's just like, what a, oh God, I just.
Also, the physicality makes no sense. Like I've had to pretend that I'm being choked out.
Right, same.
In an audition room, and that was the whole audition.
Was that for Backdoor Sluts 9?
Yeah.
Oh my God, who got that?
You. Remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, they renamed it.
Yeah.
To Pretty Pretty Pink Stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. But you were so good in that movie.
Thank you. But it was still about backdoor stuff.
Mm-hmm. Man, I've been to some weird auditions in this town too. I mean, I came to LA very late in my late 20s, but then again, you get here and everything is so like, wow. And people are like, I'm sending you to an audition. And you're like, wow, I really have it. It's really confirming my move was right. Like, and it's already starting for me. And then I went to this one audition and it was just apparently for a movie, but they just had groups of girls go in, and there were a bunch of men in there, and then they just had them dance.
Yeah,
they were
I've done one of those. Mm-hmm.
Was just like, okay, so that now we're on a boat and there's a party, so just like dance around and like improvise. And I left.
I did one audition where I had a commercial agent at the time, which I hadn't for a while. And then I got one and I was like, this is new territory for me because I hadn't like had that representation.
Yeah. And commercial auditioning is very different. It's than
theatrical. So different.
Yeah.
Not something that I enjoy.
It's not cool. It's not cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I was like 19, 20. And it was an audition for like a beach party, right? Mm-hmm. So they said, wear clothes, wear like a t-shirt and shorts, a tank top and shorts, and just have like a bikini top underneath. So I thought like, okay, that's the vibe. Yep. They just want to, you know, whatever. So I wore a bikini top, tank top, shorts, flip-flops, you know, like curled my hair or whatever, whatever. And I walk in there with three girls and they're like, okay, take your shorts off. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? So they were just like, yeah, sure, no problem. And I was mortified.
Yeah.
And so here I am, 19 years old with my shirt off in front of a bunch of like 35-year-old dudes being like, okay, and somebody said a really funny joke and you're jumping up and down.
No.
Like it was just like – and it was for like a legitimate commercial.
It's so fucked
for something,
up. Right.
You
but
know?
That's what's so fucked up. It's not just these creepy movies that will never get made. It's like actual casting is like really fucked up sometimes.
Yeah.
I wonder about all these music videos casting.
Oh. The music video casting world, I feel like, is wild.
Yeah.
Oh, I was on a set of a Enrique Iglesias music video, also in the beginning when I just came here, and then I was like cast as a background actor, and I felt like, again, like this is confirming that I belong in Hollywood and like I'm making it, and they just called me to be in the Enrique Iglesias music video.
You said that so well.
Enrique Iglesias.
That was really
I'm
sexy.
European, so.
You are.
And anyway, I went. You can see my like right elbow in the music video. But they were, when we were in this nightclub in Hollywood shooting the like, it's just like them partying, right? They wanted to find, I heard them talk, the production and the artists, and they were like, we need one girl to be like the main girl. They didn't cast her. They were like, she's going to be like on his arm. And he's like, no, I'll go. And he just like walked around the club, looked all the women up and down, tried to find like the hottest one. And everyone wanted to be the hottest one. But in your soul, you feel like, this is not what I'm supposed to want for myself.
Yeah, this isn't right.
But
like, what the fuck am I doing?
You've been brainwashed so much, you know? And then he picked like some like super hot, like Victoria's Secret model type girl, you know? And it was like, wow, that's how that happens. Like, it's not. And I was on another.
And that was Sofia Vergara.
And it should have been me.
Alina, no, you'd be famous if he chose you.
I would be famous.
If only you were the hottest one in that room.
The mom on Modern Family the stepmom would have had a German accent. It would have been a whole different show.
It would have been you.
God damn it, Enrique. Next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Well,
I'm not talking anymore.
Don't move to Hollywood, you guys.
Don't come here.
Don't do it.
Don't come here.
Come, or just come jaded.
Don't come here.
Okay, so when was your awkward stage, would you say?
My awkward stage started when I was born, I would say.
Okay.
And then it stopped when I was about 26, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That you feel like you've come into your newborn. Own.
Yeah, no, I was. Well, yeah. Okay, so actually I was, because when I was born, I didn't speak for the first, 3 years I was alive.
Really?
This is real. Don't you dare laugh at me. Your producer's laughing at me, and it's really disrespectful.
Yeah, she's really offensive. Really disrespectful. Yeah.
She always makes us dance, too.
So they thought something was, wrong with me. Aww. Because they would say, Caitlin, and I would just, I never smiled. Sorry. I was really serious, and I did not speak.
That's because you were a dramatic actress.
Right. It's just no one knows.
So then just one day you started talking?
Yes, they were she's a quiet, pensive child, and she'll get there. But they were does she have some kind of disability? They were, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And showed all the signs, and they were no, I think she's good. And so I just sort of, aww. My brain grew more, I guess. And I was hey, sorry. It took me a second. Hi, Mom. Then when I was, and mind you, my mom was 42 when she had me, and my dad was 55.
Scandalous.
So I was basically the product of a midlife crisis. Let's do something, Yeah. And that's, I was conceived in a science lab. I was artificially inseminated.
Oh.
So, yeah, my parents did not fuck to have me. No love there, just science.
What was that conversation when you found that out?
Well, my mom lies. Okay. So she likes to tell people, she was you were conceived in Ireland. And I was what are you talking about? She said this at a dinner party once, and I was no, Mom, I was conceived at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Building. And she goes, okay, well, your father and I were in Ireland, and we talked about having you. So the idea was conceived.
Oh.
She really has a way.
Oh, I just love all the stories
conception,
about your mom.
Yeah. Not to get too far into this, but then would conception be when the doctor implants?
Let's talk about it. When does life start?
Oh.
Let's talk about it.
Life starts Roe v. Wade.
In Ireland when
life starts in Ireland. For a lot of us, it does. Maybe, it really does. Yeah. Oh, but I was going to say that when I was two... I had my mom took me to the doctor because she was afraid that my neck was too long and my head was so big that she thought the weight of my large head was going to break my neck. And as you can see, I do have it. You just cut away from me. Hello. As you can
see, her head.
My neck is very long, but my head sort of stopped growing after a while. But she took me to the doctor and was like, I feel like something's wrong.
The same doctor who she took you to for the speech.
I never noticed you have a long neck.
I do have a really long neck. Alina has a long neck.
You guys.
It's the European thing.
Yeah.
Because we're European. Mm-hmm. You have a good neck. Yeah. You have a great neck.
Not as long.
My sisters and my mom, though, don't have necks.
Oh,
are they jealous?
Well, it's that Viking blood.
There's
a lot of extra muscle up here, you know, for carrying logs. I don't know.
My friends always called me Vern. That's the turtle in some. I'm looking at everyone. It's some animated movie, but they called me a turtle because of my long neck.
Yeah.
But it's pretty.
If you're just listening to this, Alina just gave us a beautiful demonstration of all the ways her neck can move.
It goes to the front, it goes to the side like this, it goes back. Yeah, it's a good tool.
Can you crack your neck? Because I can crack my neck.
Oh, sometimes.
Hold on. I want to see if I can get it.
Do it in front of the mic.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
That's a little bit.
That's what your mom was worried about.
Yeah.
Your mom just keeps going back.
She's like black swan.
She's not talking. Now she has a long neck. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's she is fine.
Something else I also used to do is I had really weird food combinations where if I – my parents took me out to restaurants a lot because I was a handbag for them. So they're we have to go to a restaurant with 25 adults. That's probably going to run well into midnight. Let's bring our 7-year-old.
No.
Because it was I was there to entertain. So that was my childhood. It was a lot of like dinner parties and oh god, isn't Caitlin hilarious? I'd be like asleep on the like under the table. That happened often. I would when we would go to restaurants, I would get so bored. So I would always get like a Coca-Cola. My parents would give me Diet Coke or Coca-Cola so I could stay up later.
Oh my gosh.
And so I had like a Coca-Cola addiction at 7.
Yeah, sugar. It's a surprise you're not diabetic.
Well, it has caffeine too, right?
Caffeine. Yeah, that's why I have anxiety disorder now.
Oh my god.
My brain's fucked up. But but yeah, so I would take bread rolls. I would open them up. I would take the inside of the bread. I would then take the bread and dip it into my Coca-Cola.
No.
So it would be like wet and sugary, and then I would eat it, and that would be the only way that I would eat bread, unless it was on a sandwich.
What? Dipped in Coca-Cola.
Dipped in Coca-Cola.
I bet that was like a diet in the 80s somewhere.
Yeah. It was delicious from what I remember.
Have you tried it? Yeah, recently. Have you tried it recently?
No.
Next dinner, we'll try it.
Well, I don't do caffeine anymore.
Mm.
I wish there was a Coca-Cola that didn't have caffeine.
No. Oh, that's right.
You don't do caffeine at all?
No.
We'll do it with Sprite.
How are you awake right now?
I don't know.
Yeah. Do you not drink anything in the morning?
I drink decaf, so it's like a placebo effect.
Yeah.
Like, I need my coffee in the morning, but it's decaf.
Wow.
But there's still caffeine in coffee, so it's like 20, it's like 20%.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
I just drink coffee way too much.
Well, if I don't have coffee, I don't poop either, and I take my poop seriously.
Yeah. It's very important.
You should.
It's serious. I don't know if I pooped this morning.
Does everyone poop in the morning? Yeah, right?
Everyone.
What's your poop schedule?
Mornings.
Everyone. How many times a day do you poop?
Once.
Once?
Once in the morning.
I get two or three if I'm lucky.
Wow.
Sometimes, but it depends on what I'm eating. Like the last couple of days I've eaten shit.
Oh, and then it's like.
And I'm a little, you know.
Yeah.
Mine changes. What about you, Nicole? What's your
poop schedule? It changes. It changes also.
What's your baseline?
If it doesn't happen in the morning, it's going to happen at a very inconvenient time during the day.
Yeah,
you got someone take care that we know once shamed me for pooping.
Someone
at
we
your
know?
Apartment.
At my apartment.
Okay, wait. Who is it?
We were getting ready.
Why was at my apartment?
We were getting ready for a sketch show.
Oh.
And everyone had to be there at 11. I was running late. Mm-hmm. I hadn't pooped, but I was also nervous, and sometimes I get the nervous shits.
I think that apartment had two bathrooms.
It did.
Yeah.
So I didn't use yours. I just used like the hallway bathroom.
Yeah.
And
which is probably worse.
Whatever. Anyway.
The one that everyone uses.
I went poop, but like, you know, it was probably like maybe a little smelly. Okay.
That's normal.
I don't smell, and I usually don't poop smelly. Mm-hmm. But I had a smelly poop.
Well,
I had
you were nervous.
I had a smelly, nervous poop.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Right? So then I like take care of it. I try to spray whatever was in there, whatever. Not my fault. Wash my hands. Everything's clean and tidy and fresh and cold. And then I, you know, when you like go in the bathroom and someone's in there, like everything feels like warm. And you're like, ow!
And the seat is warm.
Yeah. Whoa. Or it feels like musky in there. You're like, what did you do? Just like air out your crotch? Anyway, so walks into the bathroom after me and he goes, Jesus Christ, Caitlin, you took the nastiest shit. I was like, not very gentlemanly for like the Prince of Texas, if he's listening.
Wait, should we bleep it out or should we just let him know?
Bleep out the name.
Okay.
I mean, this isn't mean. Like, I would say this to his face.
Yeah.
Love. He's a doll. But
don't shame
but he's a poop
people.
Shamer.
Don't
he's a poop shamer.
Shame women for pooping.
Don't pay.
You probably wouldn't have said the same to a guy who pooped.
Yeah, if a guy takes a shit, you're like, oh, nice.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
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 But I took a massive smelly dump. And all of a sudden it was a problem.
Wow, double standards.
No, I think he was just being like friendly and brotherly, and I was just mortified because like I don't ever don't you ever talk to me about my shit.
That happens to that happens though, like before you go on stage, because you get like the nervous poops are a real thing.
They're nar-nar.
Yeah. Like if you go if you've never experienced this before, if you go into the bathroom that the actors are using before they go on stage,
it smells like
ass. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, why does our body is just because it's the nervousness and it rejects everything and needs to like.
I need a timestamp on how long we've been talking.
We've been talking about poop for a really long time. Is that
wait, with all this poop talk, is this a good time to
break for our sponsors?
Yes.
Great.
We'll be right back.
We're supposed to go to the OBGYN once a year for our annual checkups, but checking our fertility isn't usually a thing until we're ready for kids, right? That's why Modern Fertility was created. It's a really easy and affordable way to test your fertility hormones at home with a simple finger prick. You just mail it in with a prepaid label and you get your personalized results within 10 days. You'll get insight into your hormone levels and your ovarian reserve, aka how many eggs you have compared to other women your age. And yes, I had to look that up. Traditional testing can cost over $1,000, but Modern Fertility gets you the same info at a fraction of the price. And if you go to modernfertility.com/awkward, you can get $20 off your test. If you want kids or you don't know yet, like me, and maybe you want kids one day in the future, clinically sound info about your body can help you make the right decision for you. Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/awkward. That means your test will cost $179 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/awkward. modernfertility.com/awkward. That's AWKWARD. Thank you for sponsoring this episode, Modern Fertility.
Wow, those were great ads.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so let's talk about your awkward stage. We started talking about it.
Yeah, and then we started talking about poop.
Yeah. Yes. I think we just need to paint the picture a little bit. Like, yes. What were you like? What were you wearing? What did you look like? Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I have a very strange, like, high school experience because I went to high school in L.A.
Yeah, we love
and
that.
And so I also went to a very affluent high school. Mm-hmm. A lot of rich kids. There was, like, a lot of really gorgeous girls, really cool, very high fashion, very edgy. So like
Elena intimidating.
It wasn't, it was intimidating and it was like, it wasn't, I didn't have like the classic cliques that there wasn't the cheerleaders and then like the band geeks and then the artsy kids. Like it was just kind of all
but there were
meshed
cliques.
Together. There were cliques. Yeah. Like, there were the popular girls and.
Yeah, was it like on the TV show 90210, the reboot?
I mean,
did you
there
ever
just
watch
weren't
it?
Boys.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
There were boys at your school?
I went to an all-girls Catholic high school. I went to the same high school as Meghan Markle and Tyra Banks.
Oh.
And I went to high school for a couple years with Dakota Johnson, but then she transferred to another school.
Wow. Bummer. All girls?
I took summer school
teenager,
with her.
As a teenager?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I was terrified of boys. I really lucked out and I got a boyfriend at 16.
This
total dork who then morphed into a gorgeous Adonis, like hot dude. Oh. So I got him early.
Yes.
Ooh, I got him early and then he got hot.
And then saw something did you in stay him. Through the
yeah,
Adonis
we were together
phase?
For like 3.5 years. And he broke my heart. We broke up, but like it's fine.
Yeah.
But I lucked out because I had a built-in date. I had all of my firsts. Like I didn't have to have these awkward like. The first time I got fingered was like my boy. I'm so sorry.
No, please. This is
I can
the
tell
place.
That story.
Yeah.
I really could because it's a good one.
We are. I think we want to hear it.
Okay. Should I tell that one or should I tell the other one? You love how I did that.
Wait, I don't know.
That was not on purpose.
I don't know. The word fingered makes me uncomfortable.
Okay.
Which I think maybe means we should tell that story.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
If you're comfortable.
Yeah, no, I was kind of leading into that world anyway. Yeah. I just really want to talk about getting fingered.
We haven't had a finger story.
No, we haven't.
Fingering story.
Yeah, let's
what
do it.
What would be the proper word?
Fingered?
Fingering.
Fingering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're a sex positive podcast
yes,
here.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So yeah, I had a lot of built-in firsts, thank God. Mm-hmm. Like, lost my virginity to him, all that stuff. Like, had a date for prom, like, someone to hang out with on the weekends.
How did you meet him?
So when we would do plays at our school, our brother schools would sort of funnel the boys over and they would do plays with us. So the Loyola boys or the Daniel Murphy boys or the St. Francis boys or usually the Loyola boys. That was like our brother boys school. And so, you know, I was sort of like a theater kid, but also a loner, but also I had some friends in like what I thought was the popular group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was kind of all over the place.
Okay.
Right.
But I also was so bad in school. I had ADHD. I like had a learning disability.
I would have taken you for like an A, like straight A student.
Do you think I'm smart?
Yeah.
Shut up.
I would have thought so too.
My life has changed. Stop it.
Yes, I think you're really smart.
No, I have a complex that I'm like, talk about this in therapy, that I think I'm dumb because I was failing history. I was failing religion class. I was failing, I had religion class. I mean, just like didn't care about it. But
you were on.
I was failing science. I was failing Spanish. I like got held back in Spanish. I got held back in math. It was like, kind of traumatic. Like
school is traumatic.
I just didn't do school. I was like really depressed there. I didn't want to be in school. And so I just, I was like a horrible student.
But turns out it was ADHD or like.
It was ADHD and like probably depression and maybe like, you know, trauma at home.
Yeah.
Just like a bunch of, you know.
It's all those things that factor in and teachers just think like, oh, you know, we're going to put all these kids with all different circumstances in one room and like measure them against one another.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, to do good in school, you have to be listening to what they're saying in the classroom. And some kids just simply aren't.
Yeah. And I just wasn't.
Yeah.
And so it was. So I took an IQ test when I was tested for ADHD.
Yeah.
And I had like an incredibly high IQ.
Yeah.
So they were like, we don't understand.
What? Where's her?
She has What's a D happening? In every class, but she has an incredibly high IQ.
You're like, move her up a grade. She's probably not like
she just
stimulated.
Needs to be challenged.
Yeah.
No, so it was just like really traumatic and I loved the plays and sometimes I couldn't do the plays because I was failing classes. Ugh. It was like a whole thing. So that's like who I was, where I was at.
Yeah.
I was very like emotionally turmoiled, but like trying to pull through.
Yes.
And then once I got diagnosed with ADHD and I was put on Ritalin, which is basically speed. This is real. I lost a shit ton of weight. Everyone thought I was anorexic. There was a rumor going around that I was anorexic. There was
we have so many similarities. That was all the same for me.
There was like a faculty intervention for me, like talking about my eating disorder that I didn't have. I was like, no, it's the pills. I just don't eat because of the pills. And like I had to take the pills and it would make me study and pay attention. So then I was doing better in class.
Wow.
It was a whole thing. It was like I had a lot. There was a lot that happened to me in high school.
Oof.
Anyway, during all of this, this one kid named Matt, that's his real name, whatever, it's fine, he came over with one of his buddies to do the school play. Mm-hmm. We, you know, kind of liked each other and then started dating, I guess. I don't know how you date in high school, but you just like go to movies and make out.
Yeah.
And then like sit at the Cheesecake Factory and you're like, so what do you want to do next? You want to go to Barnes & Noble? Like, what do you want to do? And so it took me, I was so afraid of boys. It took me about like 3 months to kiss him.
Aww.
I was afraid to kiss him.
Yeah.
I was afraid to make out with him. So have his tongue in my mouth. What? No.
Yeah, that's weird.
I still think
it's weird.
Yeah. So just like all of that stuff, I was so physically afraid.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't know anything. Uh-huh. Like I was very just like didn't.
Also, did you feel the same? I felt also that it was part of being like a proper, like desirable woman slash girl to be good at that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't know. I like at 16, I was like, oh, so the penis actually goes inside instead of just lays on top like a hot dog in a bun. I didn't because my parents tried to have the sex talk with me, but every time I was like, stop. No. I'm never having sex.
That can't be true.
It's so scary. You know?
Yeah.
But I like had sexual fantasies and liked boys.
Weren't ready for the information from your parents.
Like, I am never having sex.
Wait, I feel like I remember when you started like seeing Evan, which is her now boyfriend, uh-huh. you were also afraid to kiss him.
Yes. Well, because I had gone through like such a traumatic breakup, and also the last handful of guys, what? The last handful of guys I dated were through Bumble, so they were like yeah. strangers.
Yeah.
And they didn't know me, and it didn't matter. And it yes. was like I was this fantasy of myself. And then I met Evan through doing a sketch show, and we were friends. And I was like, he's a real person. Yeah, I never shit where I eat. Talk about shitting. and like, if this goes bad, this is going to suck. Yeah. And I was terrified. I was terrified. Like, what if he's a bad kisser? What if his penis is weird? What if it's bad?
Right,
like,
that's
just,
what I remember
like,
is you being like, well, I can't kiss him because what if it's bad? Then we'll never work out.
Yeah.
Like, so
yeah.
you're just never going to kiss him?
I was terrified of him. I was so afraid
because
of him.
Because you liked him so much.
Yeah.
Because it's like vulnerability.
Yeah.
And
I think I have.
Wanting something is scary.
Yeah. And I think I have, I mean, now in therapy, I'm revealing yeah. so much on this podcast. I had a lot of like trust intimacy trauma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. I just know how to get drunk and fuck a stranger. You know? Yeah. Not that I would do that.
No stakes.
Often. But
teach me your ways.
Anyway, back to me getting fingered.
Yes, please. Wait, paint a picture. What was your like your sense of style at that in your awkward?
So at the time I was doing Mary Kate Olsen Chic.
Yes.
So I was doing the.
I don't think I know what that means.
It was very much. It was very much a thing.
I still Google
at
image.
My LA high school.
Yes. Okay.
In 2006, 2007, yes. 2008, there was a Mary Kate. There was a Mary Kate Olsen / Lindsay Lohan cocaine chic
okay.
vibe yep. happening.
Okay.
That
I was into
very
it.
Deep in.
Yes.
Because I got really skinny, and all of a sudden I was like, I can wear shorts and I can wear midriffs. Like yeah. I had this body now that I never had before. All the while going through puberty. So it was like I was yeah. experimenting uh-huh. with just looking a certain way.
Yeah.
And I think like the culture of skinny at that time was like really intense.
And the way women were treated in the media at that point, at that time is like media loved the scandals that they went through, but
yeah.
they were everywhere. And we were also imitating what they were wearing
yeah.
while they were
so
going
being like crazy
scandals.
Skinny.
Yes.
And like mm-hmm. that was
yeah.
like the vibe.
And like big sunglasses and like,
yeah.
oversized shirts, but then like shorts mm-hmm. and like
so
necklaces.
What I would do is I would layer up. I would do two white tank tops just like this. I still wear like white t-shirts to this day
yeah.
every day. I would do a white tank top. I had long brown hair that I would blow dry and side bangs.
Yeah.
Yes.
That I would mm-hmm. sort of just like tousle.
Yeah.
I would do like bangle earrings or like some kind of boho earring moment.
Boho, yes.
And then I would do either denim shorts or I have these like twee-esque plaid shorts.
Oh, yep.
Like brown plaid shorts. Mm-hmm. And then I would do like sort of scuffed up black flats or something. And then like a cardigan.
Yes, a cardigan.
You know?
Yeah, something
so
like.
So it was like cute,
that's
but
like
a little just like, fuck you.
Yeah, you,
you
wanted
know?
To
like
look
you could
like
only
you don't
see
care.
Out one yeah. eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
With your bangs, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. So my boyfriend and I in high school would go to the Grove a lot.
Ooh.
So I would go to the Grove a lot. That was like where we went and what we did.
And that's where all the celebs went back then.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, according to someone who lived in Germany.
According to Us Weekly magazine.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we would go to see a movie. We'd go to Johnny Rockets when Johnny Rockets used to be there. Or we'd go to the Cheesecake Factory. Or we just like walk around through Abercrombie when Abercrombie was there and just like smell stuff and be like,
yeah.
should we like buy a pair of jeans? So I had a car at the time. I had like a Scion TC. It was like a little silver hatchback and I was obsessed mm-hmm. with it. I then totaled it 2 years later. But yeah, so we would like make out and stuff and basically dry hump and be like, let's do more, you know,
like
the
in
poor
the movie
guy
theater?
Was so no, like in
oh.
my car.
Oh, okay.
So either he would,
we're at the Grove.
Yeah. So either he would pick me up and we would drive there or like I would drive to him and
okay.
pick him up and we drive there. Like mm-hmm. as long as we were in the car together, we were unstoppable, like Bonnie
oh,
and Clyde. You know
I
what
love
I mean?
That. Mm-hmm.
So I was so afraid. I didn't understand my vagina. So
mm-hmm.
I was like, I knew with the tampons. I knew
yeah.
that. But I was like, where is it going?
I didn't know like
what
how many holes
so
are down
you had
down
never
there.
Seen like a diagram.
Or a
no.
mirror. Put a mirror
and
down
I'd never
there.
Seen. I never watched porn. Like
right.
I didn't
yeah.
know. Like I know where the tampon goes. And I know that's where the penis goes now. But like,
and one might argue,
I've never done anything.
And one might argue the porn that's out there, it's not the best educational for women,
right? Of course,
to understand female anatomy.
Yeah,
right. Because then you think a penis goes in an ear, and you're confused.
And it like looks.
Yeah,
they have like bleached assholes and stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, my asshole doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what my asshole is. Because
I look at a lot of assholes online.
I once sent someone a video of my ass.
Shut the fuck. Stop it.
And they told me to use lighting.
No, no, no. Before you continue. No, like you just so casually. Use different you sent lighting. Someone a picture of your asshole.
I remember this happening. I was casually having sex with someone.
Because I haven't had a lot of sex partners in my life, and I wanted to like have my slut face, but I just am not having it.
Right. So I'm still waiting for it. Like yeah. I've slept with like 13 people.
Yeah. Me, I've slept with like 10 people in my life.
Yeah.
I have no comment on this.
And so I was trying to force it. I was trying to like make myself more like be with like strangers and have like a casual thing. And they were very like always wanted me to send like pictures and like videos.
You know, that's actually a huge red. I don't know what it is. It's a red flag and a turn off for me. If I was single, the second that a guy would be like, send me pics, I'd be like, no, thank you. I'm not interested. And I think it's weird.
It is. And I remember in the beginning saying that I don't like it, and but they kept pushing for it. And then I did it, and which is on me, but also. Anyway, I sent a thing of my asshole, and they told me to use different lighting because it was too bright. Because I think maybe imagine they thought getting... that all women's assholes look like in porn, but they don't. They don't.
It was too bright or too dark?
No, too bright. I think it was just too like, real for them.
Imagine gearing yourself up to send an asshole pic and then getting criticism.
I literally...
On the lighting.
I can't believe it.
Got criticism on the lighting.
Do you know how ridiculous dick pics are?
Yes.
Imagine a grown-ass man sitting in bed being like...
Yeah.
And I think sound, I showed
like,
you.
Can you imagine?
I think I showed you guys the flaccid one I got.
That is the funniest picture I've ever seen in my life. That was like 5 years
ago. This guy sent me a dick pic of a flaccid penis.
No, but not only this.
With his face in it.
No, but it was just a full body shot. He was completely soft, shaven head to toe, bare ass like a 9-year-old, and just like phone in hand in front of a full-length mirror smiling with his thumbs up. I thought it was like in jest. I thought he was kidding.
Thumbs up. And then I met him
and I was like, okay,
fuck, this is should we have Anyways, a sex podcast
this is a sex
where was
podcast.
I
okay
it's
okay.
High school. I'm with my high school sweetheart boyfriend.
Your vagina.
You look like one of the Olsen twins.
I look like one of the Olsen twins.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
As I still do. And so we're like in my car making out. At some point he's like, let's go in the back seat. And I'm like, okay, I'm just so like little and small. I'll do whatever you say. Like my life's ambition is to be tiny and cute. Mm-hmm. So we go in the back seat and then he's like feeling around there and sort of like, and then
this is where it goes.
And then finally he starts to try to, you know, finger me.
Yeah.
I was like, no, no, wait, stop, I'm scared. And he was like, it's okay. And then he did, and then that was it, and I've been getting fingered ever since. You know, and it's fine, and it's okay.
Wait, that actually is kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
Did you feel something?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. When something's inside of my vagina, I usually feel it.
Did it feel good?
I will say, yes. Okay. Yes, it did. I will say that, yeah, no, of course.
Guys.
I come super fast. Anyway, I don't know. I'm going to stop talking. When we first lost our virginity.
Like how many seconds? I'm just kidding.
85 minutes. When we lost our virginities to each other, this is a short one. I'm telling too many stories.
No.
It was on our 1-year anniversary. That's how long I waited. Mm-hmm. He like lit candles all over my bedroom.
Oh.
He was like really sweet. And then if he ever hears this or his wife or children ever hear him
hear
this, I just want them to know he was nothing but a kind gentleman. Okay. And he's a lovely person. And it's fine.
I
I'm so sorry.
I only want his kids to hear this.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Anyway, so I was on top for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I was on top and just taking full control. And he put a condom on and we tried to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of trouble.
Pushback.
Yeah. Physical pushback. Uh-huh. And then it finally happened. And then the condom broke. We had sex for about 5 seconds. The condom broke. He started sobbing because he assumed I had just gotten pregnant. And I was like, no. No, it's fine. Like, you didn't finish. It's fine. He's like, but what about pre-com? So it's like 10 o'clock at night. We go to some Rite Aid far away from both of our houses because he doesn't want to run into anybody. I'm 17. He's 16. But he was only 2 months younger than me. It wasn't weird. So
it sounds weird.
He walks into like the Rite Aid or CVS and he asks for a plan B because he's convinced I'm going to get pregnant. And then he comes out, gets back in my car, and sobs some more. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, they wouldn't fucking sell it to me because I'm not 18. So for the next 2 weeks, he was enthralled with anxiety and worry.
Because he thought
thinking that I was
it.
Carrying no. his child.
We need to teach kids more.
I know we didn't know anything. And so obviously I wasn't pregnant. And then we like had learned how to do it more and better. And then like moved on with our lives.
Oh, imagine if you did times, just like, man. That did just make you pregnant.
Oh. That happens to so many people.
Pre-cum?
Oh, yeah. Pre-cum. You can get pregnant from pre-cum for sure.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Yeah.
Careful, Nicole.
I have 2 more weeks until I'm married.
And then
I can have as many kids as I want because God said so.
Fuck yeah.
God said it's okay.
God said it's okay. Hallelujah.
So those are these 7 stories that I have.
I love them all.
Today.
I could keep going on and on.
If you had any advice for yourself.
Because it's weird because we're like friends in real life. Oh, wait. Wait, what?
Yes. No,
I know it's weird. We haven't heard these stories.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't ask you about yourself.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah, we just talk. Well, you know everything about us because we just tell you about us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have to wait for everyone to be quiet so I have the stage.
Yeah, because Caitlin's so shy.
I'm really shy. Remember in Vegas when I had a glass of champagne and went rogue for 45 minutes and then I was like, I'm going to bed. Remember? Yeah. I really brought
one
it.
One glass.
I really brought it.
Oh, I wish a one glass would do that to me. I could drink a whole bottle.
And then that same night, Alina and I stayed up till 4:30 in the casino.
Yep.
And I got robbed.
Yeah, I know.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun.
Oh. It was really fun. That was so fun.
Talking about getting robbed, we have to
make a quick break for our amazing sponsors.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Who can relate? I recently went through a period of having intrusive thoughts more than usual. And I started to fight the thoughts and push them down, but they kept coming back. And over time, I found myself believing those thoughts. But there's also a different way to manage problems like that. It can be tough to train our brain to stay in problem-solving mode when faced with challenges. But when you learn how to find your own solutions, there's no better feeling. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or small. I finally started therapy with BetterHelp during the pandemic, and I cannot tell you the difference it made for me. What I realized about myself is that I have a story in my head that I'm sticking to. And with simple questions from my therapist, I was able to look at things from a completely different perspective. It helped me get to know myself better and to learn ways to deal with such things like intrusive thoughts. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. Get matched with a therapist after taking a brief survey and switch therapists anytime. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/awkward today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/awkward. That's AWKWARD. Thank you, BetterHelp, for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, Caitlin.
Yeah.
If you had any advice for your younger self,
yeah,
what would it be?
What a good question.
Thank you.
I've never been asked that before. And it's such a beautiful thing that you ask that question on your podcast.
Thank you.
We want to make a difference.
I think it's a really incredible question.
Thank you.
I would say I was so consumed with fear growing up, being a kid, being a teenager, being in like my 20s, even though I'm still the youngest woman alive, to like just not live with fear. Like it's fine, you know? Which no I know fear. Is such a vague thing to say fuck to fear. A child.
Fearless.
Yeah, but like fuck fear. Like yeah. Don't be afraid. Fuck fear.
Or like do it anyway, whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah, I was so terrified of
Isn't
everything.
Isn't there a quote that's like fear is a useless emotion, or is that just something Chris says to me?
Oh my God. That is a tech boy thing to say sure.
Chris is my, I'm pretty sure that's just what my fiance says to me. I thought.
Babe. Fear is a useless emotion.
And Nicole's like, all right, cool.
Okay, I'm cool. I'm not scared anymore. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Caitlin. I just asked you where the half and half was.
What?
Get it. Like, never mind. Wow. Tough crowd.
Can we get Caitlin Riley some half and half,
tough
please?
Crowd.
Caitlin no, Riley saying, wants like, half and half.
The joke is like, Chris says, fear, oh, babe, oh. Fear is a useless emotion. And then Nicole, the joke would be, babe, I just asked
where the half and half was.
Yes. There we are.
That was funny.
We do have half and half flying in for you.
I don't need it. I don't do dairy anymore.
Where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Instagram. What's my Instagram handle? Hi, Caitlin Riley. Mm-hmm. Figure out how to spell it correctly. Just Google it. I'm not going to tell you how to spell it because I don't feel like
fuck
it.
Fuck you.
And then on Tiki Talks, I am, it's Caitlin Hello. And... when is this coming out?
Soon. September, probably. Mid-September.
You got something you can't say yet?
Oh, yeah.
I have a show at the Largo on September 15th, but if this is coming out on that day or after, then I'll let you know how it went.
And you're in Hacks.
And you're in Hacks, and you're in...
And you're in...
What's the Maya Rudolph?
Yes. Loot, yeah.
Loot.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
And follow Awkward Stage Pod on Instagram and TikTok and DM us your awkward stories and we might read them on the podcast.
Yes, we might. And also don't forget to subscribe and rate and give us 5 stars and tell all of your friends about this amazing podcast where we talk about poop and sex.
Bye.
Bye. Yay. See you next week.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.